Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu, Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Alright, let me just talk for a few minutes about what can have your handouts ready here. What we're embarking on, because the structure and content of this class is going to be changed now. We're going to actually start studying Sanskrit, and we're going to integrate the Panini Sutras into the Sanskrit. So there'll be two things happening. I'll be teaching the Sanskrit, and then we'll be also understanding how to work with the sutras. So there'll be quite a period of introduction of introducing just the Panini Sutras. This will involve learning initially all of the technical terms that we use in Sanskrit, and I've only taught them to you in English. For instance, terms like swara for vowel, vyanjana for consonant, terms like kanta for gutturals, and all of the different Sanskrit labels we need to use. If I can introduce those, a lot of those today, and some of what we call the Maheshwarani Sutras, Shiva Sutras, for the Panini, it will be off to a good start. So a lot of it, what I'm assuming is that everybody knows the Sanskrit script. Everybody has some comfort in being able to read the script and has had some exposure to Sanskrit, like most of you have had exposure to the Sandhi rules so that you know what they are. All of these we're going to go through in detail, but if you've had no exposure to any of this, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. If you're willing to study, it'd be fine, but a study's going to be necessary. In fact, from this point on, since we're actually going to learn this Sanskrit, you will have to study. If you find that you can't study, but want to be part of this class, you should consider yourself then as an auditor, as somebody who, for whatever reasons that you have, you want to sit in on the class and pick up by osmosis, whatever you can. But if you're not studying, you'll be left behind in terms of being able to really follow what's going on. Still, it's all right to sit in. I don't mind that. But if you're not studying, you shouldn't feel that you can just take for granted you'll be able to follow class to class to class. And by studying, I think if you were to study anywhere from a real study, 1 to 3 hours a week is fine. If you're not able to do that, you might find that you're getting something, but maybe you won't feel that you're really learning Sanskrit. Right? So that's a personal commitment. I don't mind if you're here, but then you can't participate as a student in the class if you're not studying. Does that make sense to everybody? Because otherwise, the people who are studying will be repeating over and over and over again to bring everybody up to speed. So that I think we have to move on from there now. These, on the first page of this handout, these are the chants that in Swami Brahma Prakashananda's Sanskrit classes, she will always start the class with these chants. And so I thought we can learn these chants by heart. We'll start every class by saying that for now, today I'll teach them to you and I'll translate. I don't know if we'll translate all of them today, but we'll at least chant all of them today, and I'll translate maybe one or two, and we'll work our way down. Another thing, just to comment on this information, these are notes from Swami Brahma Prakashananda's class when she has taught both courses in Coimbatore. She taught Sanskrit along with Panini. And one of her students, Shankar, who some people may have met at the ashram, took copious notes. And so what he gave me, all of those notes. Brahma Prakasha also gave me a copy of his notes. And so it's her material that we're going to be using. It's very, very well done. I did go through and make some changes, just some editing. A few editing things. I added a couple of things that I wanted to be included. But for the most part, this is straightforward, exactly what Shankar has, the copious notes that Shankar has taken. He continues to study with her. You know, so he's now at the ashram. He's now at Salersburg for a few months studying. And also, when I was in Coimbatore, I got to spend some time with him. So he's one of her most serious students in Panini, and he also teaches Panini. So that's why he made sure that his notes are good. And these are the notes that she now is kind of using and probably will make into a book. Okay?
Which one? Who was he?
Shankar. He worked in the library. I don't know if you remember him then.
No, I didn't go that way.
So let's just look at this first one. This first one is called the Sanskrit alphabet. We're going to kind of quickly read through this for the sake of noting the technical terms that I want you to be responsible for and to actually learn and memorize like a vocabulary list. Okay, so we'll go through this. And in the second half of this, starting on page 7, are what we call the Maheshwara Sutras. And this will be the introduction into Panini. Before that, I want you to know certain terminologies, so that'll make it much easier for us when we're studying Panini. Okay?
I want to see what this is.
Then that's next.
Okay.
Did you see this first, right? Then this, if it turns out we're using this book, there are copies of this book on hold at the ashram, and I'm going to order them for all of us. But first I want to see, before I do that, how we actually do with this handout, okay? Those who want to get this book anyway can, but I'd like you to experience Panini first. You know, experience Panini first and see whether or not it's something that you want to continue studying, okay? And, Penny, did you get the handout there?
I did.
Okay. Then the fourth one, this also is from a Prakash, from Shankar's notes. For these, I thought this would be nice for you to have. There's no Panini in here. I will be giving you a handout that has all of the Panini sutras that are involved in making each one of these Sandhi rules. But since all of you have studied the Sandhi, you also have a handout from me on Sandhi that you can get online there. But I like the way that she did it. It's very simple and very clear, so we'll review this also. This is just for your use to bone up on your Sandhi rules that we'll be using Panini sutras for. Okay? Okay for everybody? So for now, keep things in the order that I've given them to you, with this first. This one first, the opening prayer, then the Sanskrit alphabet, then the Sanskrit text, and then the vowel Sandhi. And I think it'd be good if you get a notebook, or if you have a notebook, have a notebook now for this class for the handouts that we give, so that we don't have this problem of searching for our materials. It's been a problem. Time-consuming problem. Okay. So, I'll just do a slight recap. Try to come by 9:15. I know you had to be late, Bill told me. Try to come by 9:15 so you can get settled and have chai. In fact, if you want some chai, we all have cups here, so you can get a cup. Okay. So that you're settled and ready to go. You can come. People start coming here at 9:30 just to get ready to have some to relax, to have some chai, and just, you know, Durga gets here around. She's our chai walla. Sarah usually tries to get here around 9:00. So try to be on time. If you are a serious student, means to me that you're studying at least 1 to 3 hours a week, then you consider yourself as a student in this class. Anybody else is an auditor. And you can't expect, I'm not going to go back for you to bring you up to date. If you're a student, I will answer and am very willing to answer and repeat. But if you're not studying, then you're not a student, you're an auditor. If you miss a class, you have to get Bill or Penny because Penny knows Penny Farrow. You don't, many of you don't know her, but
there's two Pennies.
She also has a lot of background in Sanskrit. Bill has a lot of background in Sanskrit. So you can ask them if they're willing to catch you up. But no, Kiki doesn't have any, she doesn't have the full Sanskrit. So I want people who've studied Sanskrit for a while. These two have. You have to be able to make up that class during the week if you miss the class. I will put a tape of the whole class onto a Sanskrit page just for our students. It's not something that I want given out because I'm also fumbling around. I've studied Panini for quite a while, but I'm not a Panini expert. I know quite a bit more than all of you, I'm sure, unless you've studied Panini. And I also have the backup of Brahma Prakashananda. But I don't want to pose myself as a teacher of Panini, except that I am teaching it, right, to you. And the reason I'm teaching it to you, with the knowledge, sharing the knowledge that I have, is because Swamiji uses it a lot. He'll refer to it in classes. If you go to Salersburg or now Coimbatore, if you want to study a course in Coimbatore, they will be using Panini. And as Westerners, we're behind in terms of our starting point from the Indian community. They're miles ahead just because they're fluent in the script and they know about a lot of these things. So I think that it would be really helpful to you to have a basic understanding of Panini. So that's why we're going to do it. And also, I don't want to have to be careful. I don't want to have to go through the tape to edit out the personal conversations and all that. I don't have time for it. So I'm just going to put it up raw on the Sanskrit site. So just know that it's meant for you. You are here in the class. And so you can just do your own editing. Right? For that, I find it takes hours to go through and take out the personal things. So that's why I'm going to have just a special site for us. Is that okay with everybody?
What's that address?
It'll be sanskrit.html after the arshakulam.org. Sanskrit./Sanskrit. I won't capitalize, just sanskrit.html. And I'll try to do that, start this today and tomorrow. Another thing I'm going to put on that site is, and again, it's just for the group of students here, not to be passed on, just because I don't feel that comfortable doing it. The notes that Brahma Prakashananda and Shankar gave me, those notes I'll also make available to you. You can just have them in the form that they are. I'll put them on. Brahma Prakashananda is very, very generous. She does not hold back sharing her knowledge in any way, and neither does Shankar. So I don't feel, as long as she's, and I'll be talking to her about this, but as long as she's acknowledged for her work and Shankar is acknowledged for his work, what is actually his, all this work that they've done, then they are so open to sharing it. But so that's how I think we should do it. So just put it on the site so you'll have that available to you. It'd be very nice. So you see, it's involved. If you go ahead, you'll probably cross your eyes. But by the time we get there to these things, it'll be fine. Okay? Let's learn the opening prayers that we'll chant at the beginning of every class. The first prayer is a prayer to Vigneshwara. Vigna means obstacle. Vigneshwara means the Lord of obstacles. So we're praying to the Lord to remove obstacles. The second prayer is one to Saraswati, who also blesses us with knowledge. And the third and fourth prayers are a prayer to invoking the blessings of Panini and Katyayana and Patanjali, who are the main. Panini is the Panini Sutras. Katyayana, called Vararuchi, is the one who wrote the Vritti on the Panini Sutras, and Patanjali wrote the Mahabhasha on the Panini Sutras. So these are prayers.
He wrote the
Bhasha on the Panini Sutras. It's called the Mahabhasha on the Panini Sutras. So let's look at the first one to Vigneshwara. Let me try to chant it, and then we'll do it in quarters. Om Shuklam Bharataram Vishnum Shashivaranam Chaturbhujam Prasanna Varanam Chaye Sarva Vidno Pashantaye Shuklam Bharataram Vishnum Shuklam Bharataram Vishnum Shashivaranam Chaturbhujam Shashivaranam Chaturbhujam Prasanna Varanam Chaye Prasanna Vadanam Chaye Sarva Vigno Pashantaye
Sarva Vigno Pashantaye.
Meaning Shukla Ambara Dharam. Shukla Ambara Dharam. The one who wears Shukla Ambara, a white cloth. Shukla is white, Ambara cloth, the dhoti cloth. Shukla Ambara Dharam. Vishnu, who is Vishnu. Shashivaranam, whose color is like the moon. Vishnu is all-pervasive. Vishnu, all-pervasive, the all-pervasive one. Shashi, the moon, Varanam, for whom it's a behuva, for whom the color is like the moon. Shashivaranam. Chaturbhujam, whose hands are four, who has four hands. Chaturbhujam, four arms. Shukla Ambaradharam, all accusative, all of these are accusative singulars. Shukla Ambaradharam, Vishnu, Shashivaranam, Chaturbhujam, Prasanna Vadanam, whose face is Prasanna, has a gentle smile, is peaceful. Prasanna Vadanam.
Is it Varanam or Vadanam?
Vadanam. Did I say Vadanam?
No.
Vadanam. Prasanna Vadanam. Prasanna Vadanam. Peaceful. Peace. They talk about Prasanna Vadanam as, that gentle face with just that gentle smile that you'll see on many of the Murtis.
Half smile.
Yeah. Just that gentle, peaceful, very peaceful smile face. Dhyayet. Okay. One should meditate on Shuklambaradharam, the one who is dressed in white cloth, Vishnu, who is all pervasive, Shashivaranam, whose color is like the moon, Chaturbhujam, who has four hands, Prasannavadanam, who has that gentle face, just gentle expression on the face. Sarva Vigna Upashantaye, to remove, to bring to silence. Upashanti means to bring it to rest, quiet. Sarva Vigna, all obstacles. To remove all of the obstacles. Sarva all Vigna obstacles. From Shanti, Shantaye is in the dative. So for removing all of the obstacles, one should meditate on, it's a prayer to Vigneshwara, the one who is wearing the white cloth, who is dressed in white cloth, who is all pervasive, whose color is like the moon, who has four hands, means all powerful. When you say Sarva Shaktiman, who has all power, that's what the four arms will stand for. Prasanna Varanam, with a gentle smile, one should meditate on him in this way. Okay? So this is often what is chanted.
Could you go through that last word real quick?
Yeah, could you slow down a little bit? I got lost about color of the moon, pervasive, I got lost. And also the four hands, I got lost.
Chatur is four. Bhujam, hands, or arms. Prasanna is peaceful. Vadana, face. Dhyayet, one should meditate. One should contemplate on. Sarva, all. Vigna, obstruction. Upashantaye, bringing to quiescence, making peaceful, removing.
For removing?
Mm-hmm. For removing all obstacles. Yeah. Shuklam Bharataram Vishnum. Shuklam Bharataram Vishnum. Shashivarnam Chaturbhujam. Shashivarnam Chaturbhujam. Prasanna Vadanam Dhyayet. Prasanna Vadanam Dhyayet. Sarva Vigno Pashantiye. Sarva Vigno Pashantiye. Shuklam Bharataram Vishnum. Shuklam Bharataram Vishnum. Shashivarnam Chaturbhujam. Shashivarnam Chaturbhujam. Prasanna Vadanam Dhyayet. Prasanna Vadanam Dhyayet. Sarva Vigno Pashantiye. Sarva Vigno Pashantiye. Saraswati Namastubhyam Varade Kama Rupini Vidyarampam Karishami Siddhir Bhavatu Me Sada. Saraswati Namastubhyam.
Saraswati Namastubhyam.
Varade Kama Rupini. Varade Kama Rupini. Vidyarambham Karishami. Vidyarambham Karishami. Siddhir Bhavatu Me Sada.
Siddhir Bhavatu Me Sada.
Saraswati, O vocative, O Saraswati, Namaha Tubhyam. O Saraswati, Namaha, salutations, Tubhyam, to you. Salutations to you, Varade, O giver of boons. Vada is a boon with a da affix, Varade, Varada, the one who gives. That da affix means any means. It's a certain type of compound. Vada, da, the one who gives boons, the giver of boons. O giver of boons, vocative. Kama Rupini. Whose form, again, vocative, whose Kama Rupa is the, it means whose form is Kama. The I Kama means desire, or the one who, the desired objects. But in Kama Rupini, it means the one who has all of the desired objects, all of the desires that can, that she can give. She's the Kama Rupa. She's in the form of all of these desirable things, so she can give them. That's the idea. So again, vocative. So, you have three vocatives, Saraswati, Varade, Kama Rupini. So, O Saraswati, goddess of knowledge, Namaha Tubhyam, salutations to you, Varade, O giver of boons, O the one who fulfills our desires, is the idea for Kama Rupini. Now, this is sweet. Vidyarambham, beginning of Vidya. The Arambha means to initiate or to begin something. The vidya, I'm going to begin this knowledge, means I'm going to begin study. Karishami, see that karishami, the next word? I will be beginning, I'm going to begin. I will begin, karishami. In English we would say, I'm going to begin the study. I'm going to do the beginning of the study. In English we'd say, I'm going to begin the study. I'm going to begin studying this knowledge. Vidya really means knowledge. Vidyarambham, the beginning of this knowledge, I will do. In English we would say, I'm going to begin studying this knowledge.
So this, the study this of this knowledge. So this Kriya is then used as
I will
study.
That's right.
It can take any form.
Yeah. I will do the beginning of this. In, exactly. So we, and it's in the future, which we haven't learned yet. I will, so it would be, I will begin studying this knowledge. Vidyarambham karishami siddhihi bhavatu me sada. Here's the prayer. May the siddhihi, the accomplishment, fulfill. Siddhi means to become a master of something, to really accomplish something. The sadhana is the means that we use for the siddhi, to accomplish something. So the siddhi is the accomplishment. Siddhihi bhavatu. May that siddhi, may that accomplishment of the study of this knowledge for me be. May it be. Bhavatu, may it be. May what be? The siddhihi, the accomplishment be for me. Sada, always. Means Don't let me forget. Okay. Sada is always, may for me, siddhihi, may this accomplishment be for me. Everybody see it? Everybody see it? Penny, do you have every word? Saraswati, I'm going to go through.
Yeah.
Saraswati, O Saraswati, Namaha, indeclinable, salutations, Tupyam, to you.
Yep.
Bharade, O giver of boons, Kamarupini, O fulfiller of desires. Right. Vidyarambham, the study of knowledge. Literally, now I'm giving, okay?
Yeah.
Vidyarambham, 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 the study of knowledge, the beginning of knowledge, Karishyami, I will do. I will do the beginning of knowledge. Means what? I'm going to begin studying this knowledge, this knowledge. Siddhihi, accomplishment, Bhavatu, may it be, may the siddhi be, may the accomplishment be for me, sada. May I be successful in the study, may I always be successful in my studies. I'm going to begin studying this. May I always be successful. May the study always be fruitful for me. May I always be successful in my studies. Okay? Saraswati namastubhyam, Saraswati namastubhyam, Varade kamarupini, Varade kamarupini, Vidyarambham karishyami, Vidyarambham karishyami, Siddhir bhavatu me sada, Siddhir bhavatu me sada, Saraswati namastubhyam, Saraswati namastubhyam, Varade kamarupini, Varade kamarupini, Vidyarambham karishyami, Vidyarambham karishyami, Siddhir bhavatu me sada, Siddhir bhavatu me sada. Okay, the next two we'll learn next week. The next two are for Panini. So this week, if we get into Panini, maybe look at it. But these two you can study for next week. Let's go to the Sanskrit alphabet. The point of this review is not for you to learn the alphabet, but for you to make note of the Sanskrit terms that we're going to need to know in learning Panini. And so a lot of those Sanskrit terms are here, so I'm going to just mark them out. Here, what she did was just really to help you learn how to write the letters. Remember, she's starting a beginning class here for students. Just to help you write the letters, she printed them in this way. Okay, so we don't want to worry about this. Since she started it this way, I just left it like that. But go to the bottom of the page, and we'll be needing to write all of these in the Sanskrit. In this particular, because she's just starting out with students, she's getting some just transliteration for a lot of things. Vowels. What are the vowels? We'll see in the next page. But the vowels are called swaras. Swara. Okay, swara. So that's a word. You can maybe circle these. This word swara, for vowel, you need to know. You need to memorize it. Go to the second page. Here she just simply lists the simple vowels at the top of the page. Page 2. Top of page 2. A, E, U, R, R. Diphthongs, A, I, O, L. You do have to know that those are simple vowels and diphthongs, but we're going to be learning them in a slightly different way, but you still need to know. You can keep these words, simple vowels and diphthongs. For these. Now, this word you need, matra. Matra, it's, as she says, it's a unit of pronunciation. As we can say, it's a length. And in the simple vowels and the diphthongs, we have a letter that is one matra and a letter that is two matras.
and a letter that is three mantras, which I haven't really taught you because it usually comes up in chanting. So this is one length, one unit. This is two units, one mantra, two mantras, and three mantras. It's a triple length, okay? And so here, Vaswa, the one mantra is called Vaswa. It's short. Vaswa. Two mantras. Two mantras are called Dirga. Dirga. And if you see, for our purposes, she said, we shall not consider the Pluta form. I mean, because we don't really need it. We need it in chanting. But I want you to have, when you do Panini, and that's why she's introducing it here. She's introducing it because when we do Panini, this is going to be, Pluta will be accounted for. Pluta, three mantras. So, these words you need to know. Praswa means short, Dirga, long, Pluta, triple. I can't say long, it means long. Praswa means short, Dirga means long, Pluta means whatever it means. What it means, technically, is three mantras. So, if you see, in this, underneath the diphthong, she has Hraswaha, Dirgaha, Plutaha. Okay? Hraswaha, just put it in the nominative singular, that's all. Hraswaha, Dirgaha, Plutaha. So these, you need these terms. Swara, vowel. Matra means a unit, right? A unit of pronunciation. And there are three units. Hraswa, short vowel. Dirga, the long vowel, which is two mantras. Pluta, the three mantras. Okay. The three, as we'll see later, that three mantra, as I say, it comes in chanting, especially in the Samaveda. It'll have a three after it. Sanskrit three after it. That's how you know. So, do you see how it says, Hraswa dirgaha plutaha, one mantra, two mantraha, two mantras, three mantras. A mantra is one unit of pronunciation. Next paragraph. For our purposes now, we shall not consider the Pluta form of the simple vowels. The first four have both short Hraswa and long Dirga forms. The fifth one does not have a long form. I'm going to write this on the board so you can actually see what she means. The diphthongs are all long Dirga. Therefore, for all practical purposes, there are 13 vowels in the Sanskrit alphabet. Okay? So let me just erase this and show you what she means. The first four, one mantra, so Hraswa, Dirga, Hraswa, Dirga, Hraswa, Dirga, Hraswa, Hraswa, Dirga. Okay? Hora? Actually, I've got to tell you something about the pronunciation of the last bit. Hraswa only, no Dirga. Okay, I wasn't taught that way, but this is correct. Okay. So here's the first four. One, two, three, four. The first four vowels have both Hraswa and Dirga. The L has only Hraswa. Okay. Then I'll tell you in a minute about pronunciation. Then the diphthongs A, I, O, Ao. See where she says, the diphthongs are all long, Dirga. I think that the diphthongs may have Pluta also, but she's not mentioning that here, so I'll check on that. So, this is important for pronunciation, to know that the diphthongs are two mantras. So you don't try to squeeze it into one mantra. It's two mantras. Your pronunciation will be really become askew if you try to make it into one mantra. Okay? So let's look at this. The first four have both raswa and dirgha. L has only raswa. A-I-O-L, the diphthongs, are dirgha. Okay? So these terms I need you to know. Now, for pronunciation, this is a correction where she corrected me, and in fact it's corrected many people. Some of us, when we were taught the pronunciation of L, did you hear that little R sound in there? Not correct, apparently. Swamiji does it. A lot of us, I was actually taught that way, that this L is like a R put in dental position. So you get a L, right?
Yep.
You hear that? She says, no.
Erase.
Erase. I think, actually, she used to teach it that way. I think she herself discovered that that is not correct. Because I had heard it on one tape. But she says, no, not correct. It is a pure ill sound. L-ill. But instead of, I would say like this word. It's a verb means to be able to do something. The verbal dhatu, the root. Clip. Hear that R when I say it? It's really going to be hard for me to change it. Clip. See, she even told me, she one thing she said, you know, even Swamiji, he knows this is not correct now, but he can't change it. And all of my Tamil, all my teachers were Tamil. They also told, look, okay? She's also Tamilian, but she studied this pronunciation in this part of the Panini very, very carefully, and also has had a lot of teachers and pundits that she's gone to. So I just kind of bow down to her for what she says there. So it would be ill. Ill. Like clip, clip, clip. There's no R. Clip. Ill. Okay. So we'll try. And it makes sense also. I'll tell you why. If you've ever learned how to do, to understand the semi-vowels, say if you say, I'm going to erase this for a minute. One way to understand, get proper pronunciation of the semi-vowels is if you were to take the E, for instance, and follow it with an ia. You hear the ya, is formed. Say if you take an ua. When she taught me how, she kind of corrected me on my va also. Va. It's a dental labial. How to make that? You bring the lip back to the teeth. Va. Va. It's in between. She actually makes it in between. Now, in usage, this... Let me make this. In usage... This va swings from a wa to a va sound, like swarupa, body. That's very, very common. But now, if you want to be absolutely correct, it is in between, where the lower lip goes into the dental, wa. See that? Wa, wa, wa. You see? So, it's kind of... But be ready for, when you're hearing a speaker, you know, somebody who's speaking in Sanskrit, for this to fluctuate from va to wa. Because in usage, that's what it does. But correctly, it's a dental labial, wa. So you bring the lip back to the teeth, wa. Okay? But let me finish here. It's just a by the way. R plus a, ra. Simple. Love. There's no R there. Right. Love. Just il, la, la. See what I'm saying? So, we'll try, and you can be free to point out my R slipping into there. And also my going back and forth from va to wa, because I'm so, so very used to that, you know?
Well, does Swamiji try to change, or is he just...
No. Yes, but Swamiji's pronunciation is considered to be just so
beautiful, beautiful pronunciation. But there's a few little things that in the 10 million speakers, there's a few things that are just natural in that part of the country. And if you go up into the Hindi speakers or, you know, the different areas, there will be different, like if you go to the Bengalis, the va is ba, you know. So,
oh, yeah, they can't help.
Yeah, they can't help. Okay, everybody with me on that?
Question. Yes. What would be the difference then between the semi-vowel and the...
There's no problem. You learn it properly. Ra and la.
Uh-huh.
Ra, la. There's no R in the la, right? Ya,
right.
Ra, la, va.
So what is the difference in pronunciation between the one behind us, the ra?
Yeah. If you have, what's the difference in this? And ra is what you're asking, and the difference in this and la.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is, very simply, that this is a consonant, and it can take a, say if I make this, there's no vowel on it now. This is a consonant, and so it can take a vowel. This is a vowel. And so, say if I have a word like Krishna, this it doesn't have any vowel following it. It is the vowel. So Krishna, whereas the R is even either going to be in a conjunct consonant, or it's going to be part of a vowel, like if I part of a have a vowel following it, or like if I say, for instance, Rama, this is the R that has a vowel, Rama, or if I say Dharma, where it comes on the top, Dharma, right? It's going to be connected, always connected to a vowel, either coming into it or going out of it. Because that's what makes it a consonant. Consonant, to be pronounced, it has to have a vowel coming into it or going out of it. R and L are vowels in and of themselves. Like if I do this, L, by the way, has very, very few. So this is always used as an example because there's so few examples of a root that has L, you know, throat. Right? So there's no vowel. This is attached to it. This is the vowel. So that's what the difference is.
Okay, so it's the same pronunciation.
Well, it would be trying to say this without any vowel. So that's right? There's no vowel. It's pure sound. Where, you know, so that's what makes it a vowel. And then this is going to be ra, ri, ru, ro, lao, la, la, li, lu, right? Okay?
So the r with, that's a vowel, does it, could you pronounce it?
Best I can. We don't. I asked her a lot of, try to get technically how you do this. The R, let's see how I roll it. R, shouldn't roll it. Krishna.
So it's kind of an I sound.
Well, you have to go back to a lingual position like ka, ka, da, Krishna, R, Krishna, R.
I know in South India they tend to the little on the bottom they tend to put an oo sound.
Krishna.
And the word that I really noticed was hridaya. They say hridaya. Okay, they would
hridaya.
Say hridaya.
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 I haven't heard that. But how did you say it, Penny?
Well, I hear it both ways.
Yeah. Well, I think if you can
prakriti.
Prakriti.
I hear both ways.
Prakriti.
Yeah.
Prakriti.
Yeah.
I do prakriti.
Prakriti.
I'll tell you what, how do you do it?
Okay, so.
Kiki, say prakriti.
Prakriti.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Say Krishna slowly.
Krishna.
Krishna. See, she's not rolling, right?
Okay.
You're not really rolling, Krishna. You're not supposed to. Just say,
you're rolling the roll, you mean?
Yeah.
Krishna.
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 Do you see that? That's not a, it's not Krishna. In fact, she said it for Swami Vagishananda's pronunciation, which is considered to be, he spent so much time, she said the only problem he has is that he'll roll the R.
Oh, he's an
R-roller. He's an R-roller.
He's an R-roller.
He'll roll the R. You don't want to roll the R. You know? It's almost a roll, but not quite. Krishna. Yeah.
Well, are these regional accents? Is that what you're talking about?
We're trying to get rid of the regional accent by teaching all of this, but
as she said, and we all know, just like in English, you know, if you're from Texas or New York or the West, you're going to have it.
Yeah.
Access, because the whole vocal system has formed itself around your particular way and style. It's the same in India. So there's going to be change, but we just do the best we can. You know, you try to understand it, and then your vocal, you try to understand it logically, work on it, and your system, vocal system, will still.
You know, one time Swamiji accused me of having a California accent.
You do.
What do you mean?
No accent.
Okay, let's go on. So, you have some words here so far that you're supposed to be responsible for, to the point that I can say the word swara, prasvadirgaputa, matra. I want you to know those words. The next word is vyanjana. Vyanjana means consonant. So the consonants are called vyanjana. So you've got swara for vowels, right? And vyanjana is for consonant. A lot of times it's good. There is no S in it. Vyanjana is anglicizing vyanjana. It'd be vyanjanaha. But we do that, and people very, very commonly will anglicize a transliteration. You won't say vyanjanaha, you just say vyanjanas. But that's English, putting an English S. An English plural on a Sanskrit word, just so that you're aware of that. let's read through this and let's see if there's anything I need to point out. There are 33 consonants in the Sanskrit alphabet. A consonant cannot be pronounced independently by itself. You know what that means? If I have, like, for instance, the letter K, this automatically, without a netter stroke, has an on it. The you learn it like this. You learn it with the on it, which is the removal of this nether stroke. You learn it that way so you can pronounce it. If you take the letter off so that you're not coming in with it or coming in with a vowel or out with a vowel, like for instance uk, eek, ook, I can come in. I can come into it with a vowel and pronounce it. Uk. Or I can come out with a vowel, ka, right? But say I take this off and this off and just have this, there's a full stop. The vocal system comes to a full close. That's what makes it a vyanjana, a consonant. Okay? It's not a semi-vowel. Semi-vowel is different. It's only a partial closure there. Sibilants are a little different also, as we'll see. But when there's a full close, you can't pronounce it by itself. Okay, so that's what she's talking about here. The vowel is added uniformly to all consonants to facilitate pronunciation. Everybody understand that? You see a letter without another stroke and no other vowel, it's an However, they can be represented in the written form by a consonant symbol unassociated with a vowel. It's represented by the consonant symbol with a nether stroke as illustrated below. So this should be very familiar to all of you. Okay. Now, new terms that I've not introduced to you. Classification of the Sanskrit alphabet. According to the point of articulation, the letters of the Sanskrit alphabet are divided into 5 groups. And we've learned only the English. We're going to change over now to the Sanskrit. So, gutturals, this is what we've learned. Palatals. Cerebrals or linguals. Either is correct. You've either learned this as cerebrals or linguals, okay? Dentals. Labials. We'll go through this and then we'll take a card moving break. Okay. And chai break. Okay. If you look at here, the throat, that's the stonem where it's actually made. It's called, the sound is called in English guttural. Kantyaha, kantya. Made, kantya means it originates in the throat. Okay. So, and she puts it in the plural here because there's more than one. That's the only reason. You'll see it written either way. Kantyaha. Kantyaha. Gutturals. So, kantyaha. Okay? palatals.
You mean just a plural form?
Yes, plural. Yeah.
More than one throat?
More than one guttural letter. Ka, ka, ga, ka,
na. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talu vyaha, the talu. The talu is the palate. The kanta is the throat. The talu is the palate. Talu vyaha, palatals. Murdanyaha. Murdanyaha. Just checking to make sure I'm always spelling correctly. Dantyaha and Oshtyaha.
What's English mostly?
Kanta means the throat. Kantyaha, that's that which is made in the throat. Talu, right, is the palatal. Talavyaha, palatals, made in the upper, in the back palate. Murdanya, murdanyaha, made in the, not sure what the, I'll have to look up and see. Murdanya, do I know it? The,
it's towards the head.
No, I know it's there, but murdanya means those that are made there. And what's the murda? I'll look it up. Murdanyaha, made in the upper palate, linguals. Dantyaha, danta means teeth. Dantyaha, made at the teeth. Oshta means lips. Oshtyaha, the lips, made at the lips. Labials, so. Dentals, dantyaha, cerebrals, murdhanyaha. Palatals, talavyaha. Gunnels, kanjaha. So, if you go to the next page, on page 3, you'll see it written down here. Gutturals, kanjaha, palatals, talavyaha, cerebrals, murdhanyaha, dentals, dantyaha, labials, oshtyaha. So these need to go on your vocabulary list, okay? Because we're going to switch now to these. I'll say them. I'll be saying, I'll keep translating, but I want you to memorize. So it'll be easy. Otherwise, we'll get into trouble in, when we're learning Panini if these kind of basic terms aren't known. Okay. We're going to be learning that this point of articulation. That's what this is called literally in English, a point of articulation. The letter is articulated. It's formed. Epiguttural, palatal, cerebral, kancha, talavya, murdanya. This is the talu, the kanta, the murdanya, danta, oshta. It's formed at this point of contact. That's where the point of contact is. Okay. So that's actually called, as we'll see, the osium. Asya means point of contact. Also, it's called stanum, the place. The asya or the stanum. So it's asya, the point of articulation. She's not. She doesn't. The students at this point, they don't know what they're in for here because she's not. She's not telling you all of the. The Sanskrit, like point, but she's translating how she'll continue to translate. Like the point of articulation is the osium. There are five groups according to this point of articulation. Kancha, talavyaha, murdanyaha, dantyaha, oshtyaha. Okay for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break.
Well, in English, where is this point? Do we have...
Throat. Like the gutturals?
For us in English?
Yeah.
Is that where we mostly come from?
No, we use all of them.
We use all of them.
Yeah. So kind of, we use something between the murdanya and the, between the cerebral and the dental. We use something that's in between. So we don't have a pure cerebral or dental. We have our own little thing there, right?
Yeah.
In the middle. Okay. The others we use. Let's take a break.
Yeah, it might be part time.
That's what I mean. It is part time.